Do you like to wait? No. That's not a virtue in my life. I mean, I don't like waiting in line for things. I don't like waiting for the doctor. We just make an appointment with the doctor and then seeing the doctor. I don't like waiting to have the war end that's going on in Israel, that's going on in Ukraine. I want it all done now. It's hard to wait. Now, what I can wait, though, is for a nice dinner that's being cooked and I can smell it. Oh, can't wait to just eat it up. I can't wait for Christmas because I love Christmas carols and Christmas songs. So 99.9 on radio, I can listen to all the music I want for Christmas. And I can't wait for Christmas to come. It's just wonderful. I can wait for it. I can't wait, but it's going to happen. But waiting for me really is not easy. In this season of Advent, it's time for waiting. Waiting to celebrate the coming of the Lord. And nice thing about this year is it's only 3 weeks and a day, Advent. Really, the shortest could ever be, 3 weeks and a day. And what we're waiting for is that the Lord will come among us in celebration of the little child in Bethlehem. But we know, right? He's come in Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah was praying, come. Come, O Lord, come down among us. They're in exile. They're struggling. They feel that they've lost. We're sinners. We're terrible. But come and save us. And he has in Christ Jesus. He's come to save us. He's among us. He suffered for us. He died for us. And he rose for us. As we hear in the gospel today, he promised to come back to us. So he says, stay awake. Be alert. Not to be frightened, oh my gosh, he's coming back, but to rejoice that he's coming back for us. He's coming back. I mean, that's pretty good news, because if he didn't love us, didn't care for us, why would he tell us I'm coming back? But because he loves us, he wants to tell us, be alert, because I'm going to be among you. Stay awake. Be watchful. What we celebrate and how we do that is how are our eyes open now to see him among us. His advent, his coming, which is what advent means, his coming is now among us. And then how do we see this? How do we know that when he comes, we'll know it because we're doing it now? How do we know? Because we're being our best person. Or as one way of Paul says it, we are turning our way from the other way of life. We're being our best person. When we be our best, then our life begins to change and we can see Christ even in the midst of our struggles, even in the midst of war, even in the midst of campaigns for elections next year. Amidst all that, Christ is present. Can we see Christ present? I think one of the gifts that we're inviting us today in this parish is to see how Advent can be a season of gratitude that Christ is truly here. Even in our struggles, Christ is truly here, saving us in our lives now. That's the invitation for us today, to have our eyes open to see Christ among us, the advent of Christ among us. And that's a sense of hope, of love and compassion, sense of gratitude that he's here. And Paul says that, I'm so grateful for what God has done to you, the grace given to you in Jesus Christ. He's so grateful. Paul's in prison, and he's saying, I'm so grateful for what God is doing. That's the invitation for us, even to be grateful for what God is doing in our life, saving us in our own struggles. That's the invitation we have today. Now, we have a great gift today. We have a speaker who's going to speak about the own experience about what God wants to do for us and how we then can be transformed to be able to see Christ more deeply in us, and then one another, and how we communicate with each other. So I'd like to invite Matt Blaze to come forward. He's a great speaker. Please come forward and share your good news.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
I always encourage people, you might want to hold the applause till after. I haven't said anything yet.
Yeah.
It's great to be here, and thank you for inviting me into your church home today. It's absolutely beautiful here. I got some encouraging words before I stepped on, and God leaned forward, he said, don't mess up. Those are my people. I like it. Well, my name is Matthew Blades, and if that sounds familiar to some of you in this room, it's because for 27 years I was a radio and television personality. And I was lucky enough to work here in Phoenix for 12 years. And my life was pretty incredible for those 27 years, having the ability to share these awesome moments with pop stars and actors and actresses and sports celebrities and even a couple of presidents. But I don't do that anymore. Because after a battle with my mental, spiritual, and physical health back in 2021, I decided to walk away from that career that had served me so well and step into a new project that I call Learn from People Who Lived It. It's a podcast series and a speaking series encouraging you to do what he just said. Find that best version of yourself so that that's the person everybody else gets from you as well. You can imagine that leaving a career at my age wasn't the easiest decision in the world. I had two kids and a wife. I actually still have them. They're back at home. You know, I was right in the middle of my contract. There were some things there that made that a really difficult decision, but nonetheless, I did it. I remember Saturday night inside this mental and spiritual retreat that I went to sort of find myself, and one of the 12 angels that was working with me looked right at me, right in my eyes, and he said, "You know, you can't keep pouring from an empty cup." A bit defensive, I hit back with, "I don't think my cup's empty." 20 minutes later, tears pouring from my eyes, it was pretty clear to me that I was indeed on empty. Probably on fumes for years. Here's the funny thing about being on fumes. Nobody gets the best version of you, including you. I personally had replaced self-care for something they call self-sabotage. Lying to myself that this is how it was now. You're a dad. And in the words of every man I had ever met, "Suck it up, buttercup." So what does it look like when we don't take care of ourselves? Well, it looks like you're skipping a meal. Looks like you're laughing less. It looks like the endless death scroll on your phone. I'm not talking to any humans in the room. It looks like really big arguments over small things. For me, it looked like a dead romance inside a beautiful marriage. It also looked like sleep deprivation, weight gain. And for so many, as it was for me, it had started to manifest itself physically, first with back pain, and then a series of nocturnal panic attacks, which, trust me, nobody in this room wants. Three of them in a row, and that third one got my attention because I couldn't settle myself down for 10 hours. Now let's flip that. Excuse me. What does self-care look like? What does it look like to take care of ourselves? Well, it looks like you're getting enough sleep, for starters. It looks like you're laughing again, things that are funny and yourselves. Looks like date night, romance back in your marriage. It also looks like a daily meditation or prayer practice so that you can stop seeking the answers and give them the space they need to find you. It also, and most importantly, looks like you getting to the root of all these real issues and stop dancing around them to keep the peace. Be a good boy, Matthew. My mother's mantra for me as a child. And while certainly well-intentioned, it would prove to be a bit of a disaster for me in a lot of areas later in life. Because in those situations where I needed to share my thoughts and my feels, I didn't. Because I didn't want to rock the boat. Or I wanted people to like me. Because here's the thing, at my core, I'm an agreeable person. I have always been the peacemaker in my family. Most things don't bother me, but some things do. Some things grind my gears like nobody's business. So what do you do in those cases? We're going to talk a lot about this tomorrow night, right here. But for starters, you manage your expectations. When we deal with someone, our expectations will often steer us right towards the outcome. It's simple science. We had this amazing neuroscientist on our podcast a few weeks ago, Nicole Vignola. And she said that when we have a negative thought, we quote, we will go through the whole day trying to prove ourselves right. That's what this person does up here. So if you expect to have a negative interaction, your body language, your tone, your word choice, everything will steer you right towards that. But here's the good news. The opposite is true as well. I will tell you that after my retreat and a series of profound discoveries, I have learned how to let go of expectations. No longer do I feel this desire and need to control everything in my life. So the question is, what happens to you when you step into that headspace? A lot of things, but I'll share a few today. My personal relationships with everybody that's important to me are better. I'm 180 degrees better and different when it comes to conflict and how to resolve it. And the people that I work with and spend time with, I'm not as angry with them or as resentful as I used to be. So take 20 seconds and ask yourself two questions. How incredible would your life be if you worried less? And how incredible would your life be if you were more flexible when it came time to have those difficult conversations that you know are going to make the situation better? See, for me, I was always really good at knowing and kind of predicting the future. It's kind of a blessing and a curse. But thus, I have avoided so many conversations because I had already decided the outcome. Looking back, I cannot believe I didn't give those people a chance to say yes. Surely, some of them would have said yes. Monday night, tomorrow night, I'm inviting all of you to join us right here. We're going to go down the big road. You'll get a taste of the full story, my full journey. Plus, we're going to have an all-out workshop on self-care, and I will serve up, as a guy whose job it was to communicate with people for nearly 30 years, my go-to tools on dealing with people that you find challenging. Sometimes that's your spouse. I promise we'll laugh. I might cry. But you will leave with some really useful tips, solutions, strategies that you can implement into your life starting tomorrow night to be the best version of yourself. Because when we put ourselves first, boy, does everybody else around us see the benefit of that. I want to thank Jill McMahon for inviting me into your home, and to Paul for all of his help today. Father Stephen, thank you for giving me a few moments with your group of people. You guys have a blessed holiday. Thank you. How'd I do?